In Jeremiah 28, we see this guy Hananiah come to the front. It's kind of interesting to me because it sounds like 2015, if you ask me. It came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, we'll have it'll give us a phrase like, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. If you track the chronology in Jeremiah, you'll find it's not chronological. And people have fits, but if they just realize it's kind of convoluted on purpose. Look, what's happening at Jerusalem? Well, they're not following the king. I'm not talking about Zedekiah or some punk like that. I'm talking about the King of Kings. And so it's chaos. And the chronology reflects the chaos. Nothing's happening in order like it would happen. It's like he took the book, right, and like a chapter book, and took all the different chapters, threw them up in the air, and he just started picking them up and put it back together, and they're all in different order. Like your life is, all out of order when God's not reigning in your life. You find yourself very, very often saying, gee, I don't know what to do about it, and just wondering, and you get this feeling of angst, and agita, and you don't really know where it came from or anything like this. Well, okay, a couple of different sources. Check if you're walking with the Lord. There may be unrepentant sin there. Or Satan's trying to play mind games with you. I don't think God wants us in this constant state of, oh my goodness. Our life should look like something. It should look like, you know, decent, in order, marching as opposed to floundering about. This is a book of floundering about. And like I say, chapter 28. But here we are. It's the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hanani, the son of Asa, the prophet, was of Gibeon. He spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, okay, so in the house of the Lord, they're in the temple. So this is public discourse. He has something to say to Jeremiah, but he brings it right to the people and everything and says it right out loud. Now this is his prophecy. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. See the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is Yahweh. He's saying, okay, this isn't some little snot-nosed, would-be, supposed God. This is the God of gods. He says that he's speaking for. Is he speaking for him? We'll find out. No. So people say, well, God told me to tell you. Now, is that a possibility? Yes. Is it a probability? I don't know. Can they be lying? Well, this guy is. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. This is already after the first deportation. Nebuchadnezzar's already been there. He's already taken captives. He's already returned with the vessels of the house of the Lord. Now, this guy comes up saying, 2 years, and that's going to be over. I'm going to break the yoke. Now, we don't remember, and I'm just reminding us, Jeremiah is wearing a yoke that God told him to put on. And, you know, it's like, okay, Jeremiah's walking around town, and people saying, hey, dude, that's not a real good look on you. You know, just buy a necktie and call it good. You know, that yoke thing is like, and he's like, why are you wearing that anyway? I'm glad you asked, because God's saying that you've got to put your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and it will go well. Your life is what you're going to pay to, you know, if you go out and submit to him, you'll get your life as a reward. And so he's still wearing it at this point, as we'll see. And this guy's saying, no, God's going to break the yoke within 2 years, right? I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, right? He's off by 68, all right? Just so as you know. They're not coming back for 70 years. And that's a false prophet, by the way. If I come to you and I say, God's going to bless you, you say, when? I say, soon. And 68 years from now, 70 years from now, the blessing of God comes. You can write it down. I'm a false prophet, okay? That's a swing and a miss in anyone's book. Within 2 full years, everyone's coming back. Jack and I is coming back. The all the implements for the temple that Nebuchadnezzar took with him back to Babylon. It's all coming back. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Yeah, sounds cool to me. Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform the works which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house. And all of this carried away captive from Babylon into this place. I wish you were right, is what he's saying. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. God lays down some rules for prophecy. Before you apply for the job, read the fine print in the contract. God says you're right when you prophesy in my name or you die. That's the rules. Don't pretend that I said thus and such and mislead the people. I don't play that game. Don't you play that game. Is this man a false prophet? Yes. Does he deserve death? Yes, he does. He's getting the people to God doesn't play games with his word. This is what the word of God is to you. And this is what you've got to know. And it's a lie. What is he doing? Is he trying to be famous? Is he pepperoni pizza prophet? He had, you know, a large pepperoni pizza. He went to bed, had these wild dreams, and now he's a prophet. I don't know. I don't know what's gotten in him. Is it a notoriety? Because a lot of people want to just, you know, be the guy just so that, you know, I got the spotlight. I'm the one with the microphone or the bullhorn or whatever, and everyone's listening to me. Isn't this a... I don't know what motivates him. We don't know what motivates him. Is he correct? He's not. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. I'm thinking Jeremiah's probably saying, way to go, buddy. I've been carrying that thing around long enough. Did he wrestle him for it? I bet he handed it right to him. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. What did Jeremiah do? Hey, listen, you're wrong, and they just start toe-to-toe, and it's go time. No. The minister of God isn't an arguer. You know, people like to fight and debate and argue and quarrel. I'm looking for the exit, too. I'm feeling you, Jeremiah. There's no future in standing there and arguing with this fool. Is this man a fool? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He thinks that God said a certain thing and God didn't say that at all. He's gambling his life. Now, that's foolish. And I'm thinking Jeremiah saying, nah, just, yeah, whatever. Let's see, I'm going over there. I'm not spending my time with you. Jeremiah just leaves. I think there's some wisdom here. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, is this private or is this back in the house of the Lord? Don't know. I have an idea it's private, but I can't. I mean, just that's how I would think it, but I can't really tell it for sure. But you know why I think one of the reasons Jeremiah left? Because, hey, we don't need a circus here. You see, you know, guys, you know, nose to nose, jawing at each other, bumping chests and pointing and shouting. That's nothing. Nothing godly is going to happen after that. I think Jeremiah gets along and says, listen, this is what God told me to tell you. It's not a three-ring circus. It's just a message to Hananiah. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, and thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Is that a problem? Yeah. Yeah, false teachers, false prophets, false doctrine. It's a lie. It's kidnapping. God looks at it as like, hey, that's my child. Don't be stealing them away from where I want them to be. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. Anyone got a word that would describe being cast off the face of the earth? He's going to die. I will cast thee off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Say, wow, that's pretty hard. That's pretty severe. God's punishment always fits the crime. God's the one who said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And you say, that sounds really harsh. It's not really harsh. Well, God is saying that let the punishment fit the crime. If they do this, do this. You know, if your kid, like, spills milk, you grab, like, a whip and just start whipping them until the flesh is ripped off their back and now you'll never spill. No, it's an accident isn't, you know, we say, oops, and we wipe it up and we have them help clean and then we move on with our lives. Now, if they sit there and they throw the milk on the floor, you know, and trying to be a brat, we might need to go out to the woodshed for that one. But because we have a sense of proportion that we don't go Gestapo on kids for just, you know, being a little naughty. The punishment fits the crime. He's leading people astray. They're setting their compass by what this guy says. He says he's saying it in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah says, it's all over. You're toast. And then he dies. God said, hey, because I mean what I say and I say what I mean. You prophesy falsely, the penalty is death. And God makes him pay the penalty here. Just something to think about. Hey, I didn't sign up for this job. I was drafted. You know, James says the teacher, he's the one who's got the stricter judgment. Okay, fair enough. I didn't want to mislead. Oh, my goodness. I think about this all the time. Lord, help me say this right. Help me get this message across. Help me say it in the right spirit, in the right frame of mind, in the right... I don't want to play games with this. I want you to really set your compass by what the Word of God says. I don't know how else to say it. I think false doctrine's an egregious offense. And then if I'm pretending that I'm some sort of prophet, oh, the Lord spoke to me directly and he wants me to tell you and I just, you know, and we do all the time. I don't think God is, he has these warning markers set up so that we don't do that. Not everyone who's ever prophesied falsely has died, but they all stand before God. Let's just leave it at that. Chapter 29, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives. Now they're in the land, okay, in Babylon, and Jeremiah writes them a letter. And to the priests and to the prophets to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Well, what prophets are we talking about? I don't know. Daniel? Ezekiel's in Babylon. I think Daniel and his friends were carried away in the first captivity. Ezekiel's by the river Chebar, and we can read that when we get to Ezekiel. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were carried from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Sit down, get comfortable, relax, you're going to be there a while. Get married, have children. You know, even in a time like this, it's always the right time to have children. oh, you know, I wouldn't bring a child in the world. Look at the way the world is. It's the right time. It's always the right time. I mean, they were pitching little boys into the Nile River, and this lady named Jochebed said, I think I'll have a baby. Moses' mom, you know, and Amram, his dad. I'm kind of glad they did. Aren't you glad? Aren't the children of Israel glad? No, it's always the right time to have a baby prophet and to bring them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. Here he's saying, okay, you might be in captivity, but take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives to your son, give your daughters to husbands. I don't want you to be diminished. God knows how population works, by the way. They're reversing in China, I understand, they're reversing the one-child policy. They hope they caught it in time, but there's some naysayers who think that they haven't, and it's going to be catastrophic. They're headed for a big, bad bounce when, you know, certain people get to certain ages and they're just the one. It's gonna be this much down to this much, and then it's not going to. And they're all male. Everyone's being born male, or the disproportionate amount. How's that going to work? You know, there's going to be like one wife for every, never mind. Just, when you try to play games with what God has set in motion, it never works out as well as you think it's going to. Only never. But let's keep moving here, because I'll get off on that. I'll be talking about that for a while. Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Pray unto the Lord for it. Wait, time out, God. This Nebuchadnezzar's bully came, he beat us all up, took us away, captives. I want to pray for this city that I'm in. Yeah, you live there. Pray for the peace of it. I mean, if there's peace, it'll be peaceful for you. Matter of fact, when Cyrus comes and takes over Babylon, the inhabitants of Babylon, some of them don't know for several weeks that the city's been taken over. It is peaceful living in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and later on under Cyrus. Just in case you're wondering, you know. So they did pray for the peace of it. I'm thinking, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Hey, Jeremiah is my guy. Will you listen to him? Everything he said so far has come to pass. And all these other bozos running around the landscape saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm not speaking it to them. And Jeremiah writes this, and this is the deal. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Daniel obviously has this scroll, and this is what he's reading at the end of when he understands that the time is coming to that the of the end of captivity. Gee, how old's Daniel when he is in Babylonian captivity? Like 10 or 12 or 13, 14 years old, because at the end of, you know, 70 years, he's going to be, what, 84 or whatever? I mean, he's going to be like an old guy. So anyway, he's reading and he thinks, and he knows that Jeremiah said 70 years. This is probably the very text he's reading, no doubt. And God said 70 years. In other words, a lifetime. I just don't think sin's a good idea. I don't spend my life in captivity to sin. I don't. It doesn't seem to be any upside whatsoever. And I talk to people, you know. Well, yeah, but, and they're gonna tell me why in their case sin's okay. It never is, ever. You know, you come here, you look respectable. This is a Wednesday night group too, by the way. I think you guys aren't like out, you know, knocking over liquor stores and, you know, but still, if you have secret sin in your life, I'm just here. Listen, it's not like I'm the sin police. I'm just your brother who loves you. It's not going to end well. It never does. So what happens, though? I'm a sinner, Adam. I mean, what do you want me to do? Well, like I do, confess, repent. Lord, help me out on this. I don't want to be this guy. I mean, you've died to save me from my sins. It's really ridiculous that I should live in it, that I should, you know, help me to, and we turn, we forsake, we pray, and we keep real short accounts, and we really try to do what's right. I don't know. Perfectly? No. Substantially? I think so. Yeah, just an idea. Because otherwise, it just nothing ever good happens. Oh, 70 years are going to be accomplished to perform my good work toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. How about this? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's probably a better rendering of that. One of Sousa's favorite verses when she's doing ministry at the pregnancy center, that was one of the verses she always used. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. I'm all about your future. I'm not trying to, rain on your parade. I'm not at cross purposes with you. That's Satan talking when you think God's like that. Now, look at the context of this, and I want you to observe the context. This is really an important principle here. You really can't say that to a pregnant teenager because they're not an Israelite going into Babylonian captivity, right? Well, but I want you to look at the context, but we're not slave to context. It's helpful. And listen, I don't want to go into Babylonian captivity. I don't want to go into any captivity. I understand something about sin. Always and every time. Well, I can play with the sin a little bit and dabble with it and play footsie with it. And all of a sudden, it's getting a little bit bigger. And all of a sudden, it's out of control. It turns into captive, makes me a captive. I don't want to spend 70 years in Babylon. I haven't got that much time. I want to make hay for Jesus. Look at the king's coming back. And I want to look like I've been doing something. I want my life to count for something. 70 years from now, I look back and say, I don't like the way it came out. I don't get a do-over. And here's God saying, listen, I know what you're saying because I'm with you on this. I understand what you're saying. I want peace. I have your whole life mapped out here. I'm not a cross purpose. I'm trying to take you away from sin. It's not because I'm some cosmic killjoy. It's because I know I've got an expected end. I've got something in mind for you. I've got your whole map. Life mapped out. You don't want to spend it sin and be struggling with this captivity. You want to spend it serving me and having victory over sin and doing ministry and fun stuff like that. I want you to live a life well lived. Yeah, that's what I want too. And here's the Lord speaking that into our lives here. You don't have to be, like if you take all the Bible verses and you put them in super context. Because people do that. They want to do that when listen, I'm just going to give you kind of a rule of thumb here. When you see a commandment in Scripture, obey it generally. All right? When you see a truth, believe it. All right? And when you see a promise, claim it. Does God have nothing to say to you here? No, he's talking to the captives in Israel, so let's go on to the next verse. Why are we even spending time in Jeremiah? No. Again, remember, Israel means those ruled by God. Israel means ruled by God. Are you Israel? Yeah. You're a son of Abraham. You're ruled by God. Yeah. Yeah. So when he speaks to Israel, he's speaking to us very often. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Hey, listen, they're thoughts of peace, not calamity. I want to give you a future and a hope. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Because it's something like, you do the Easter egg hunt with kids or whatever you're hunting, you're colder, oh, freezing. Oh, you're getting warmer. You think that's like God with us? Like he's playing some game, he's trying to, play hide and seek, and oh, you're cold, oh, you're ice cold, you're... No, he wants to be found by us, but he's holy too. This like sin will separate you from your God. Even as Christians, you know how it is. Listen, I've sinned, okay? And this is how it works with me. I don't feel real close to God, and I feel like he's down on me. And I sound like a hypocrite in my own ears and stuff like this. You know the Bible says that that the righteous are as bold as a lion. But it's talking about the wicked and sinners. Well, they run even when nobody's chasing them. So you have this, like, you know, this idea of, like, people chasing you around and people looking and, you know, like you're doing something wrong and you're always looking over your shoulder. Or you got this boldness, like, no, no, God's on my team. He loves me. I'm his blood-bought child of God. There's nothing between us. Do you have that, like, boldness? Hey, you know if you're sinning or not. And you're going to seek me? And you're going to find me when you search for me with all your heart. If I'm not being found by you, it's because there's a problem. There's a disconnect. One, you're not searching for me. Or two, I don't want to bless where you're living right now. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think God, like, he's that, like, loving Heavenly Father I always, like, talk about. Give me something to bless. Give me a life that I can bless, because I certainly will. But when you're, I don't want to reward my, when my kids were young and I was like full-time dad, or you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to reward their bad behavior with blessing. I wanted to bless them, but sometimes they made it impossible. Go to your room. That's not a blessing. You know what I mean? Here, more pizza. That's a blessing. Let's go play ball in the backyard. That's a blessing. Oh, you're throwing a hissy fit. You're mouthing off to your mom. Go to your room. No blessing. I love them the same, but you know, and that's how it is. I think sometimes, you know, is God like being sought by us and being found by us? Yeah, he says he will. Get rid of the sin and seek him. Will you find him when you search him with all your heart? Yes. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from the place whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord hath raised up us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord, the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, pestilence, and I'll make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. I will persecute them with the sword, with famine, with pestilence. I will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. Why is he telling them that? Misery loves company? No, because they're down in Babylon saying, hey, what happened to us? Am I the worst of the lot? Am I the baddest, worst sinner that ever happened? No, don't worry, they're getting theirs. He's saying, I haven't finished judging yet. He's going to take care of all those still in Jerusalem. Why? Because they still haven't hearkened to him. They still haven't repented. They still haven't turned from their sin, their wickedness, specifically idolatry. We're going to see that in Jeremiah 44. Man, when we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, things were going really good for us, they're going to say. It's interesting. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but they would not hear, saith the Lord. And that's the problem. I'm telling them, do this, and they won't do it. You know, Jeremiah's got a hard life. I mean, because listen, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, he's the ISIS of the day. He's the bad guy. Now God's spoken to me, the prophet Adam, and he's told me, submit, ISIS is coming in, they're going to take over, they're going to kill you unless you submit to them. Nobody's going to church here anymore. I don't want to hear that. No, they're bad people. I know, but we're bad people, and God's using bad people to judge bad people. That's how it's going to be. And you're saying, well, we're not that bad. That's how they felt. But Jeremiah is telling the real deal. Now, am I telling you to submit to ISIS? I am not. I'm just trying to give you an example of what he's running into. That's why nobody wants to heed his message. Verse 20, hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kolaiah, of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. He's calling them out. He's calling these prophets out. Okay, none of the prophets get down there, they're lying. Which prophesy a lie unto you in my name, behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall slay them before your eyes. What are they saying? Rise up, we're going to rebel. We ain't going to let this Nebuchadnezzar push us around. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, God's saying. When you see them die, then will you believe that Jeremiah's my guy and they're not? And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. So he's going to kill them, and he's going to kill them in this very specific way. He's going to roast them by fire, so much so it becomes a curse and a byword. So Nebuchadnezzar, boy, he's got a problem with anger and stuff like that. You cross him, and he's fiery furnace time. You're roasted. That's obviously he's got a history. But God's okay with it because they have committed villainy in Israel, have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. So there's moral failure and there's false prophecy going together. Is it real adultery or is it like spiritual adultery? No, I think it's real adultery. Because very often with false prophecy goes that, listen, you're not right with God, you're not right with God. And this is what he's saying here. Thus saith the Lord, thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? I missed something here. This is a letter going back to Babylon, from Babylon back to Jerusalem. I can't get it because thou was sent letters. This letter is going back. The Lord hath made thee priest instead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord. Okay, you guys are in charge there for every man that is mad, i.e. Jeremiah, and maketh himself a prophet. He's talking about Jeremiah, that thou shouldst put him in prison in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which make himself a prophet to you? Hey, Jeremiah is writing all this stuff, and you know he's weakening the people down here. He's made himself a prophet. He's crazy. Why haven't you thrown him in the stocks? That's what he's asking. For therefore he sent unto us from Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Hey, this is an age-old problem. I don't like the message. Kill the messenger. Welcome to my life. No, I'm serious, too. And I'm not saying that in a way that you would feel bad for me. But I get this, and I really get it. This is what the Bible says. Oh, well, and now the goats, the butt, people who butt, right? They're goats, right? Sheep follow. Goat's butt. Well, yeah, but now I get the butts, and I get the full rage, scorn, and accusations. Hey, I'm just delivering the mail. I didn't write it. I didn't edit it. I'm just giving you the mail. And now this is what happened. Hey, make houses. You're going to be there a long time. Might as well get comfortable. I want you to get married, settle down, have a few kids, you know. Cultivate roses, plant a little garden, nice white picket fence, get cozy, you're going to be there a while. We don't want to hear that. We're from Jerusalem. We want to go back to Jerusalem. This crazy king here, and he's making all this. Oh, it's terrible here in Babylon. God saying, no, you're going to be there 70 years. I ain't playing games with you and your idolatry. I ain't playing. Hey, how come you haven't arrested this guy? He's writing all these crazy letters to us. No, he's writing the word of God to you. If you don't like it, that's the problem. Listen, I always say this, right? If I'm stepping on your toes, you know what you need to do? You need to move your toes. You know, but if you're going to be a true messenger of God, so you're going to be at cross purposes with people. You're going to say things they don't like. It's just, get this right. Get this straight in your head. If people on the way to hell, you don't want to just pacify and make them feel comfortable and enjoy the journey to hell. You haven't done anything good for that person. Oh, yeah, they'll sing your prayer. Oh, he's wonderful. He told me I was gay, and it's okay because God loves me that way, and he made me that way. And you're not doing anything good for that person. So what? So I read the Bible and say, you know, no, homosexuality. See the word abomination here, and I'm lovingly trying to tell somebody, you know, you can be freed from that. God not only can forgive your sin, but he can free you from that. He's done that a million times. I don't want to be free from that. Shoot the messenger. That's exactly what's going on here. And again, I'm not saying this in a way that you'll pity me. Please don't. I mean, this is what I want to do more than I want to breathe air. Teach the Bible. But I understand, and I want you to understand, because you're going to share and you're going to minister with people. So, I'm trying to think of his founder of Methodism. You know, because he used to, John Wesley, he started a school for preachers. And someone would come to John Wesley and say, yeah, I feel God's called me to preach. He says, well, go preach and come back and tell me how it went. So he'd go off and preach and, you know, the guy'd come back, the candidate. Say, well, anyone get saved? Oh, yeah, people get saved. He goes, oh, good, you get a call to preach then. Take them on and tutelage and teach them how to. If the guy said no, he'd say, well, did anyone get mad? And they'd say, oh, yeah, plenty of people got mad. He'd say, oh, good, you get a call to preach then. And he'd take them right in and teach them how to be a preacher. And if he said no, nobody gets saved, and no, nobody get mad, he'd say, no, God doesn't have a calling in your life. Now, I don't know if I want to write that down as a rule of thumb, but think about it. You know, they'll get saved, you'll do ministry. Oh, they'll get mad, and you're still doing ministry if they get mad. Now, I don't lead with that. I'm not trying to get people angry. I don't show up here and I pray all week long, oh, Lord, get them good and steamed at me. If they drag me off and tar and feather me, I will just love that. It'll be so good. And most people are polite. They just turn and they don't come back. Some people give me an earful. That's fine. That's part and party to what we do. Don't think you're not being effective or you're not being a, look at Jeremiah knew it. All the prophets knew it. They all got guff for delivering the message, for delivering the mail. You and I aren't exempt, especially in this world, America, 2015. We don't want to hear about righteousness. We don't want to hear there is a God who has rules, who expects anything from us. We want there to be a, if there's a God, just everything we do, just check and just whitewash and just tell us how wonderful we are and it's all good. Listen, Pope Frank, there's a reason he's so popular. Reading what he's saying about, you know, if I met a gay guy, who am I to judge him? You know, we've got to, you know, incorporate these people in society. Who am I to judge him? Who am I to, where did you get that verse? And you got to incorporate into society. What is that? First Thessalonians? Is that Second Theologians? I don't know that one. Where'd you come up with this stuff? And people just love to hear that, like, oh, no, we're not judged. We're one big happy. And no, you know, you're that way. That's God loves homosexuals. And of course he does. That's not the argument. That's not the discussion. But we just, I'm just trying to say, don't soft sell. Don't change the message. Just say what needs to be said and then brace for impact. You know. That's, how come you haven't arrested that guy? He sent us in Babylon saying, the captivity is long, build ye houses, dwell in, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Is Zephaniah a good guy? I think so. Is he a friend of Jeremiah? Well, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah, the Helamathite. That's in verse 24. That's the part I was missing earlier. Okay, write him back. Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. Again, false teaching, punishment. You say, well, what do you mean? It even goes to his children here. I will punish and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among the people. Well, the children didn't get involved in the sin. Well, we don't know that. But here's the other part. That's why sin is sinful. It involves innocent people very often. I mean, think about it. You get, you know, dad who's a drunk, gets all tanked up and comes home and terrorizes the family. Why should them kids suffer that way? That's the nature of sin. That's why it's so wicked and so sinful. And sin, choose to sin, choose to suffer. It never furthers your cause. And it infects and infests, and just we get it all over all those around us who we love the most, who are the closest to us. I'm not going to do what God says. Oh, just stand by for chaos. This whole book's a book of chaos. Do what God says. Things go generally well. Oh, don't do what God says. That's not a good choice. That's not a good choice. Now, why are we talking about this? We love the Lord, and we're trying to serve him and stuff like this. Yeah, everyone has a problem with sin. Everyone I've ever met, including me. Make it in your own mind. I'm not going to, it doesn't ever go well. During that tempt part when you're being tempted, like every day, just remember, Satan's a liar. He never's going to tell you the truth, ever. When he speaks a lie, he speaks in his foreign tongue, Jesus says. He never tells the truth. And then when you have the word and you're given the word and you're saying the word, people don't like the word who aren't doing the word. Okay, that's all we have for tonight in our little foray into the book of Jeremiah. So, Rick, you can come out and send us out of here in song. Let's stand, let's pray. Lord, we seek always and everywhere to do your will and to advance your kingdom, and we want to make a difference in people's lives and help us to. And Lord, for the times when people aren't listening, that's between you and them. But we want to just be found faithful, and we don't get a do-over if we don't like the way this came out. So help us to every day, Lord, to say the things you want us to say, to meet with you, to follow after you. Say you'll be found by us if we search for you with all our heart. Cause us to do that, Lord, to your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.